Is guacamole a fruit salad?
What is the best milkshake for bringing boys to the yard?
Ostriches are dinosaurs.
Don't piss off old people. New game.
What do you mean it gives you Arby's mouth?
Artisanal muck duck balls.
I think they call that auto fellatio.
I want to high five a shark.
Welcome to Bar Banter. Relax, have a drink with us as we debate the most controversial topics in the world today.
On today's podcast,
fuck it, we'll do it live.
At what distance is holding the door open rude? Does your food order change if you're dining in versus carrying out? And lastly, which childhood cartoon character would make the best prison gang leader? But first, all the way from Ontario, Canada, friend of the show, Pamela Warren, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a coconut rum with sparkling water. Andrew or Drew, what are you drinking?
I want rum today too. I'm doing a Mai Tai. It's a little bit of light and dark rum, pineapple, orange, cranberry, a whole bunch of different fruit juices. Richard, what are you drinking?
Continuing my run of Long Islands this evening. I will say, though, the only change tonight is it's Coke Zero and not like a normal Coke, and it makes it tingly.
Because you got to watch through the calories.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, let me get a double Big Mac and a Diet Coke.
Mm-hmm. And a Cherry's Jubilee, and that's it.
Ben, what are you drinking over there?
You guys are all drinking rum. I feel left out. I went a little different. I went gin and ginger tonight. Got me a bottle of The Botanist a little while ago. It's not my favorite gin, but I'm actually really enjoying it because it's been a long time since I've had it. Travis, what are you drinking?
I'm going back to A Night on Ponce IPA from Three Taverns, local beer. It's 7.5% alcohol, and I'm going to drink a bunch of them. So it's going to get a little crazy. Someone's probably going to have to open the door for me. Keep it open.
Saw it coming a mile away.
Bad.
Did you hold it open for a mile?
I did, yeah.
A whole mile.
Yeah.
Guys.
I feel like that's appropriate.
Guys, at what distance is holding the door open rude? So, some context. Going to daycare, dropping the kids off. You got lots of people coming in and out of the door. Like, got small kids, they're way in the back. One of them might be running up. Do I hold the door open? How close are they? And is it rude if I don't hold the door open if they're at a certain distance? I don't know. We got to decide.
I need to hop out. I need to hop out.
Just go.
Because the people at my job are the worst offenders.
I'm holding the door for you.
At this? Thank you. And I will say, before I dive into mine, I think it's important to point out that, like, I think it's safe to say that all of us, except for maybe Drew, are decent enough people to where if people are, you know, if you could see someone carrying an item, that, like, it changes. So I just need to get that little part out of the way.
Why am I not the decent person in this?
Well, I was going to say Pamela, but, you know, she's my 69th follower and I feel like I owe her some loyalty.
There's going to be situations where there's like a small child or a stroller or an old person.
Sure.
Doesn't necessarily count.
But I have I'm willing to say I have an extreme minimal distance for myself, but just to throw that out there. So for myself, if you're not within, and this is rounding, but I'm going to say 5 strides of the door, I'm not holding the door for you.
Okay.
I'm turning around. I'm taking a check. If you're within, and it's, you know, it's not like my 5 strides, it's kind of around, but a general five lengths. Maybe if you want me to say 5 yards, I'm willing to say 5 yards, but that's all that's required. Outside of that, unless you're carrying something in all those rules, it becomes rude because I feel like I have to hurry up at that point. And then when you holding the door makes it inconvenient for me the person you're holding the door for, that is where I draw the line. And so myself, again, I am a short door hole window. Like if you're not immediately right there, and I also just walk fast. So I know that like if I have to slow down to hold the door for you and then run away from you because it's just going to happen because I walk fast. You got to be right there for me to hold the door for you. Again, if you got kids and all that. And then like, especially if you're at a shopping center and you're crossing the street, like, I don't know if you're coming in my door. You could be going like to the shop next to me. You know what I mean? So unless I know you're right there, for me, it's not happening.
Can I go ahead and just to clarify?
Yep.
You went from 5 strides to 5 yards. Okay, so about 15 feet. No, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, because to me, yeah. I'm willing to say
I think that's reasonable. Okay.
But for me, it's about like, for me, 5 strides is probably about, they're about 5 yards. So yeah. And again,
okay.
At the most, I'll round up. Yes, 15 feet.
I think that's not as close as I thought you were going for. I thought you were like, when you came out hot, I thought you were going to be like, if that person's not right behind me, no, you're not getting the door at all.
I came out hot because I worked today and the people at my job were like, hold the door for you, as you said, like a mile away. And then I feel obligated to give the courtesy jog. And if you're making me courtesy jog, we're having words.
And the courtesy jog in non-athletic clothing is even more. Like if you're in like...
And that's a completely different topic we need to tackle in the future. Right. When is this courtesy jog appropriate? So
I wasn't too far off from you, and I was kind of in the realm of between 17 and 20 feet, which is about 4 to 5 seconds. Like anything more than 20 feet, absolutely not. I could say 15. I think that might be a little low, but like it's not out of the general scope. I thought you were gonna be like, if you're not right behind me, nah, I don't want it. You're not getting the door. So
no, because you get the backwards glance, and it's a very quick judge for me. Like it's a quick like, because I'm judging how quickly are you walking? Are you paying attention? Like, are you on a mission? Are you talking with the family? Are you wrangling kids? Like all of these factors come into whether or not I'm committed to holding the door for you. But if you're not carrying something and you're like herding cats, even if you're at 15, I'm like, maybe
I'll hold the door open. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. Pamela, what do you think?
Well, as a Canadian, we just hold the door for everyone. So
that's true.
They don't go anywhere. We just stand there all day and hold doors. No.
And then you say sorry. Yeah.
Sorry.
And we also seem to measure things more in time here than distance. So I would say about 3 seconds. They're not within 3 seconds of the door. Is that too short? It depends on, you know, if it's a kid or an elderly person. Rick is mortified.
No, I'm sorry.
That's a perfect person.
But she's leading to a perfect point. Pamela, thank you, because that was going to be my point too, is there's got to be more context than just distance. And I think it's time plus distance. And then Rick, what you were talking about at the beginning is, you know, there's always those kind of extenuating circumstances. But I'm actually on her side where it's more time than distance. You know, but at the end of the day, if you're holding a door for somebody, it's kind of your interpretation of whether they need it or not. You know, if you're going to be pissed about it, then you're just kind of being a dick. You know, and someone's holding the door for you. They obviously think that you either need it or they're just trying to be polite. No one's holding the door saying, hey, I'm going to make this guy jog to me because I don't like him.
Oh, yes, they are.
They are.
Yeah. Oh, yes, they are.
I used to do that for...
That's so bad.
I used to do that for Rick when he had the operation. I would hold the door open and then close it right before he got there.
Okay. So Travis is part of that 1% of dicks. Yep. But the other 99% generally are holding the door out of the kindness of their heart. Maybe they get the timing wrong. I can't associate it with rude. Like, that's just not the term. Maybe unknowledgeable of their surroundings is a better word. But yeah, I don't know. I like the time aspect, like Pamela was saying, more than the distance.
Well, so, yes, time is an aspect to it. But Rick's 15 feet, if you look at the average step yeah, length and everything else, 15 feet is roughly 3 seconds, give or take, right? That's not too far out of it, right?
Depending on the person, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we average. Kind of established at the beginning. It's about somewhere within 15 feet. Pamela said 3 seconds, which is probably closer to like 9 to 10 feet. That might be, you might be pissing some people off by not holding the door open long enough. I don't know. That's why we're having this discussion. So yeah, obviously there's a time element to it. However you want to measure it is fine. But if you say 5 seconds, that's not too far off from Rick's 15 feet. So you don't discount him by measuring it in feet.
Oh, I'm
when
not.
Your answer but might be like the same.
No, my entire answer was based off of my third point, which it's situational. Time plays a part, distance plays a part. But if I get out of, let's say I'm going up to a front door of a restaurant and we're 50 feet away from the front door. And then I get out of my car and then some old lady gets out of her car next to me. I get up to the car, I get up to the door. I'm going to hold that door for the next minute while she's walking through because it's situational. Like,
then I'm gonna need you to change your point of view on this. And I get where you're coming from. but let's say if you, Ben, are walking across the parking lot, when and someone's holding the door from you, is there a distance where you feel obligated to hurry up and you wish they wouldn't hurry the hold the door for you? No, what is that moment?
I have my own timeline. But if I speed up, that's my choice. They're not making me.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but what I just heard was I could stand at the door, and this is, I'm exaggerating to prove a point, like, you know, wherever the furthest, like you would feel no pressure to hurry.
Well, so let me ask you a question on top of that one. Let's say you do feel the pressure to hurry and you run up to the person that's holding the door for you. Do you walk in when they're holding the door and say, fuck you? Or do you say, thank you? You generally say thank you, even if you run through the door, because you know that you're supposed to say thank you because they were holding the door for you.
If I have to courtesy jog, I don't say thank you.
But I'm willing to bet you don't say fuck you for holding the door either.
It's a sarcastic thank you in my case. Like, hey, thanks. Like, well,
that's a sarcastic thank you in that situation also sounds like a fuck you to me.
It is, because they're being rude because they made me, or they pressured me to do the courtesy jog when they could just walk through the door. Because now I look like, he's making me look like the asshole for taking my time when I'm a fully capable, able-bodied person. And you held the door open way too early. And if I take my time, I'm the asshole. Because now I'm making that person wait longer.
Personally, if my hands aren't full, I don't want you to hold the door for me. I'm fine.
Good point. Able-bodied.
Well, to me, and this may be a new topic, but to me, holding the door is almost like the hi, how are you doing moment, mm-hmm. like passing in a hallway. Like, I don't expect a in-depth answer from like, oh, my dad just died and, you know, I'm really struggling. No. It's pleasantries. It's how are you doing? The correct response is fine. And you, it's a quick interaction. That is the way I view holding the door. Like, it's not like a real, like, and I guess maybe I'm willing to say I'm just a terrible person, but like, to me, it's not necessarily like, usually you don't do it out of like, oh, I really care for you. It's just like, oh, you're right here. This is general accepted politeness that you're close enough. I should hold the door for you. Unless you're carrying, struggling, like, right. You know, that outlander. That's kind of the way I view the holding the door. So it's a short interaction. It shouldn't be, once you extend it to the, like, the distance to where there's courtesy jog and like, I have to change my train of thought, I guess, as the walker. That is where it's too much. And then
original answer was going to be based on how you should hold the door open based on how long you think it will take the door to close. Because at the end of the right, because
I like that.
To your point, Rick, I'm holding the door open for you, not necessarily out of chivalry because I'm a good person and I'm better than you, not because I, you know, want to really connect with you. It's because I was there first. I'm already opening the door. So yeah, just go on through, right? But if I have to like actually take the time to look behind me, recognize another person and be like, oh, there's a person way, way over there. Not struggling, just kind of walking. Now I'm the asshole. So like you should be able to kind of judge this door is going to close within 2 seconds.
Yes.
Or you just don't look.
Yeah. Or you don't look. Now, I tried that this morning. I tried that theory out. Some doors just closed way too quickly. And I was like, maybe it's not a great measure of it. The bathroom at the Chinese place we went to that one time, Drew.
Oh, it just slams.
Yeah, it just closed.
It's just like,
but and that was to me was almost like, now I have to flip it on its head. I have to hold it open longer because of how quickly it closes. So I didn't think that concept worked as a actual scale.
I love that. I think there's a reasonable, acceptable time frame for a normal door closure. And yes, Drew, you can go, but Travis, you phrase it perfectly because that's exactly it. How long do I think the door to close before I, yes, go, Drew.
This is where
let me add one more thing.
Nope, stick my answer from, or I'm just not going to answer. You guys can have it. To me, the opening of the door or the keep, I guess it's more the keeping the door open is how I want to say it, is exactly that of, would it be more inconvenient to just let the door close in that person's face 3 seconds and then them have to open it again right afterwards? Or would me just giving it a little push, keep it open long enough for them to get through, like with a gas station door, a little, that kind of thing. It's less about the courtesy of being like, let me get that door for you, sir and or madam, or is me actively not taking that little extra 2 seconds causing you greater inconvenience? So it's essentially the same thing that Travis said of, if this door is going to close super fast, and I know that, my example is the QT right next to my house. That door is heavy as fuck. And I don't know why it's this QT in particular, but you have to like really get it open. And then once it's open, it'll close real fast. So in general, I know that, and I'm just going to like keep it open a little bit. Or if I see somebody, so I think the 3 second to 15 feet rule is good in general. But again, situationally, there are so many situations where I would keep that door open for an elderly person or a child or a string of people are coming out holding a bunch of shit. All of that is so to the situation of where
But I think we're excluding that.
Me taking 5 seconds out of my day to hold a door open for you doesn't inconvenience you or me, then I'm going to do it.
I mean, excluding it, I get why you're saying that. But for me, that's part of my reasoning for why the distance, there is no rude distance for me. That's my argument, why there isn't a rude distance, because it is situational. I'm not excluding it. I'm just saying, the question was, what is the distance? There isn't one for me. That's my answer.
So the whole thing for keeping a door open is, it's the smallest thing in the entire world, but I am taking time out of my day and using my own effort to keep a door open for something. I don't think it costs anything. If by holding that door open for somebody makes them have to do the little stutter step or even increase their pace, then I've inconvenienced them. And both of us have expended energy for no reason. So it's more of a, have I done something that made this person change the way they were going to approach this door? That's a bad way to put it, but I think it's kind of what.
Yeah, I get what you're saying there. Because if I'm walking to a door and I see someone go to hold it and I'm past the point to where I'm going to hurry up, like I'm giving you the wave, the nod, I'm giving you the sign like, nah, bro, don't hold it. Go ahead.
Don't worry about
Like I'm doing something or whatever. And then if you choose to hold the door after the sign, I no longer feel the need to hurry because I've at that point, you just, your range is bigger.
Everyone's accepted this.
Yeah. I've waved you off. You're like, no, I insist. I'm like, all right, whatever.
But I would rather for like the extreme situations, I would rather walk in and then reopen the door when that person's like, if I'm still by the door, I'll reopen the door. That's fine. Like, and if we're going situationally, my answer is going to depend on the temperature outside. Like if it's super fucking hot or if it's super cold, that distance is going to get shorter. Like I'm not standing there out in the elements just because, you know, you're way too far away. Like, yeah. So on average, three to four seconds, 15 feet, whatever you want to call it. That's, I think, the reasonable area. I will say one other just kind of like, before we move on, before I ask this other question, we're good with 3 to 5. I know Ben's might not be, but like everyone else.
I'm standing my ground, but I will, I mean, I'm going to be outvoted, so it's fine.
Gosh. You know of it. Two follow-up things. Pamela, why are you so rude? And you don't even look, you don't even do the casual look behind? Like, what the hell?
Like, I'm not saying I do that. I'm just saying.
You said earlier, you're like, I don't even look behind me. Like,
no.
You said it, and I'm calling you out.
She never said she's from Canada, just that she lives there.
Yeah. Maybe I'm from Georgia.
Ugh, who wants to be from Georgia?
No, you'd have to be from like the northeastern states.
Does your strategy for holding the door open change if you're entering in a restaurant?
Stop. No.
If you're dining at a carry.
I'm going to go get a drink.
Go get a drink. Guys. And lady,
get it right
real quick. Pamela, is the term guys unisex at this point?
Yeah,
if I say, you don't care. Okay,
no, I call people bro, dude, whatever.
Perfect. Guys, you're going to a restaurant and you're either going to dine at said restaurant or you're going to carry out your meal from said restaurant with the intention of eating it in a different location. Does your food order change? Obviously, your drink order might change depending on where you are because you might order an alcoholic beverage and you can't really drive home with an alcoholic beverage. But does your food order specifically change?
Not with that. Dine in,
yeah, that's right. Dine in versus carry out. Go.
No, it does not.
Okay, why?
If I'm just eating it in a different location and I'm getting something from a restaurant, I get what I want. If I'm just, if you're saying I'm just changing the table I'm eating at, then no, it doesn't change what I'm going to get.
Pamela, what do you think, Pamela?
I haven't dined in a restaurant in ages, just having young kids and it's more expensive to eat out. So yeah, the only thing I would think is would be like to get nachos. You don't want to get nachos to go. Mm-hmm. Those would get soggy, but like for most part, I don't really get nachos, but yeah, I think I would get anything I would get at the restaurant, I would take it home.
But that's something to consider, you know, nachos being an example, but anything that could in theory get soggy, anything that could, the quality of the dish could change based on the amount of steam that is in the packaging. So you're saying it might change?
If I were to get nachos, I wouldn't get nachos.
So just nachos. Got it.
The only food I really eat out is like Subway and, you know, fast food.
Fair enough. Ben, Drew?
I would say mine is less the actual order that I would get from a restaurant, and more so there are restaurants I will not get takeout from, if that makes sense. Because of very similar to Pamela's answer, there's just like certain things and certain restaurants I don't think the quality holds up if I have to drive 20 minutes home and then have to choose whether I want to reheat it in the oven. Similar to like nachos, tacos, sushi, even like I'll buy sushi from the grocery store, but in general, I'm going to a restaurant to get it because it's freshly made. I'm not going to wait 20 minutes to eat sushi. Don't give me that squint eye, Rick. There's certain foods that are better when you eat them when they get directly to your table.
Right, I don't disagree then, with that part.
As opposed to waiting, I'd say like pasta or Chinese food or like places where general takeout food is more appropriate. So yeah, I think it's more for me there. Like there's restaurants I'm not going to go there and order takeout. I'm going to that restaurant to go to that restaurant. I'm not going there to get takeout, like a steakhouse. I'm not going to a steakhouse and getting a 22-ounce ribeye to take home.
Yeah, sure.
So that's where I'm at.
I'm confused a little bit on your answer because I guess when I was looking at this answer, I was like, if you are going to a steakhouse,
right?
Would your order change if you were dining in versus taking out?
I'm not going to go to a steakhouse.
Yeah, I get what you're. Yeah,
I know that, Drew. I understand your answer. I'm just telling you the way I perceive the prompt.
I know that's why I took it
in a shitty direction.
I took it in an amazing direction.
No, because I don't think your order necessarily has to change, right? Because some restaurants only offer a limited number of things. So those are, to me, the outliers. But I think, yes, my order does change based on my location because of basically what Pamela said in the nacho example of like, they haven't come up with a way to get nachos from the restaurant to my house and there's the chips are still crispy, right? That technology does not exist. They're going to be mushy and floppy and gross. And so if I'm going to a Mexican restaurant, if I know if I'm ordering out, I'm not getting nachos anymore. I'm going to get a fajita. That nacho item is no longer in consideration for me for that Mexican restaurant. If I'm going to a steakhouse, my order is going to change. I probably wouldn't get fish because I don't want fish to sit for too long. But like if that fish option was available at said steakhouse, I'm not going to get the fish for carryout. I'm definitely going to go with more something a little bit heartier that'll stand up to a little bit more time and I'll get a steak. So I think has to change. Like depending on
why make yourself make that decision? Why not just not go to that restaurant? Go somewhere where that you know
obviously
their menu lends towards takeout better.
Of course I'm telling you how I took the question. I'm taking if we all picked one restaurant and you took the restaurant variability out of it and the only variable was carry out or dine in, does your food order change?
Yeah, obviously.
So I felt like that was
very obvious.
Well, Rick says no.
No. So let me, I get what Drew's saying. Like, obviously, yes. Like if that was part of it, like, yeah, I would pick something that held up better. But I am saying to me, I disagree with the nacho argument. Like I like the item from the restaurant and I don't care if it's going to be a little cooler by the time I get it takeout or it might be soggier than if I got it in the restaurant. Like, I don't care. I know I like that item. And so I recognize I'm getting it to go. It won't be in its pristine condition, but I still like that item. So I'm going to get it, even though the chips might be a little soggier or, you know, in the bread, you know, it might bleed, you know, whatever. Like if I'm going to a restaurant and I have to get it to go, I'm still getting my favorite item from that restaurant, even if it's not as good to go.
And sometimes,
and like
on the rare occasion, things get better if they're to go.
On the rare occasion,
if something like gets absorbed, some
give me an example. Give me a concrete example.
Pamela said Subway. If you get the sweet onion chicken teriyaki and you let it sauce in that bread for like a good 20-30 minutes and you just slop, it's so good.
And I think I need to throw this clarification in there too. I'm also not gonna reheat it. Like when I get it.
No.
Like I am getting my to-go order, and whenever it gets to me, I am consuming it at said temperature. No matter what it is, like I'm not putting the nachos in the air fryer. I'm not putting or the microwave or the oven. Insert whatever thing device here. Like I am. Give me my barbarian points for that.
I was literally about to award you some barbarian points. I'm going to give you two for that one. I'm going to give you two.
I just want that to be clear.
It takes all of 5 minutes. Pop it in the oven.
You didn't get takeout to cook. You got takeout because you want to take it.
Exactly.
Right. Pamela nails it.
Ben, thoughts, go.
So I have a lot of thoughts on this. I'm still convinced that my thoughts are skewed based on me being the one half of society that's worked in restaurants for most of his career, as opposed to the other half of society that's never worked in restaurants. Yes, absolutely, 100%. My order changes whether I'm dining in or not. But to everybody's point, it is based on the establishment. It's based on the item. It's based on so many different factors. But no matter what the factor is, yes, it absolutely changes. Even if I have a favorite food at a certain restaurant, if I know that it doesn't deliver well, you know, fool me once, and then that's it. And then I'm going to order something else, or I'm just not going to go there. So 100%, my answer is yes. I'm not going to go into the deep, dark hole of 10 minutes of reasonings why.
So we got, I know at least Ben and I are our team order changes. Rick is team order doesn't change.
Yeah, I'm realize I'm in the minority on this one, and I'm okay with it. Because cool. I'll eat mushy McChicken from McDonald's.
Pamela said, except for nachos, the one example of nachos that her order doesn't change.
Yeah, for the most part.
And so, Drew, now you have...
I mean, even with my argument, mine is technically, yeah, my order changes, because if you're talking about whether I'm going to a restaurant or not, that's a change in order.
All right, so food order changes. It's decided. Rick, you got to get something different every time.
I'm okay with it. I accept defeat. I knew I would, but I'll get the chili cheese fries from Crystal, whether I'm in the restaurant or I'm taking it home.
Your order now has to change regardless of, and yeah, just so you know.
Today's episode is brought to you by Rocket Guitar Repair. Is your guitar beat up, dented, or is there dirt from the 70s still under the controls? Well, you're in luck. At Rocket Guitar Repair, Ray works on everything from acoustic and electric guitars to bass guitars, banjos, mandolins. If it has strings, Ray can fix it. With over 50 years playing, repairing, and building guitars, Rocket Guitar Repair can get your guitar repaired rocket quick. Call Rocket Guitar Repair at 678-400-3062 or visit rocketguitarrepair.com.
Guys, which children's cartoon would make the best gang leader? And I say children's, so no like Bender from Futurama, no Space Ghost Coast to Coast. Got to be like a kid's cartoon character. There's some flexibility there, but like Family Guy is probably not a children's cartoon, Richard. South Park is probably not a children's cartoon, Richard.
I'm okay with South Park. I'm upset that you think I would go the Family Guy route.
Both not acceptable for this question. And I'm curious to see what you guys are going to do, because I think when in a prison situation, you have one of two options. You can either start your own gang, which could be risky because you have to like recruit people, but like stay under the radar. Or you could join an existing gang, which might just take forever because the guy that's in charge has been around for 10 years to life or whatever. And he's not leaving anytime soon. So which children's cartoon character would make the best prison gang leader? Ben, I'm going to call on you.
Yeah, I've got a couple, but I really zeroed in on one. I felt this person brought a lot to the table, you know, person that speaks multiple languages, person that comes in, never gets angry, always tries to make friends with everybody, loves sports in the yard. I'm talking about the one and only Dora the Explorer. She will literally pull out anything you need from her backpack, whether you need a shank, whether you need a ball, whether you need a cigarette, it's in her backpack. And she's going to friend every single gang in the yard because she speaks all the languages.
I love this picture in my head.
Dora the Explorer, greatest gang leader.
Just face tattoos, single teardrop.
I'm struggling to poke holes in that one.
She's got the map.
It's a good, it's a solid. It's a solid.
Yeah. Okay. Pamela, go.
I struggled to come up with something. My husband suggested Papa Smurf at one point.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not necessarily the cartoon, but the original comic. He was a lot more mischievous and deviant than he's portrayed in the cartoon.
I mean, he already is a gang leader, or maybe a cult leader. I don't know. But like he already has
he's leadership got a family.
Qualities. He's a patriarchal.
He never turned figure. Back on family.
Vin Diesel is not a cartoon, Rick.
Vin Diesel is Papa Smurf is my next goal.
Yeah. Somebody call Fox. We're going to get Vin Diesel as Papa Smurf. That's the goal.
I'd watch that.
I like Papa. That's a good one, too.
Assuming in the cartoon that he's probably protected by all the other Smurfs, too. So he's already kind of, you know, got that whole thing going for him where everybody's looking out for him.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad no one so far has picked. My original choice was going to be Popeye, because I think that person needs to have some sort of muscle, needs to be able to a show of strength. Like, they can't obviously be the weakest. They don't necessarily have to be the strongest person, but they can't be the weakest one. And I first went Popeye, but I really, a gang leader needs to be smarter, can't just be the muscle, and has to be smart enough, not like computationally smart, not like book smart, but like, I'm going to outsmart you. I'm going to break you mentally. And the only character that I could think of that just like fucks with everyone they come in contact with is Bugs Bunny. He's the ultimate trickster. He's the ultimate just manipulator. And I think he's a really good student of like other people's behavior and can use that against them. So he's got some physical feats. He's got some strength, but his real strength lies in his ability to just somehow turn a gun around and make you shoot yourself in the face. And I think he would make the best prison gang leader.
I appreciate that take. And you're close. You're so close. But I think Bugs Bunny is more like the hitman, maybe the number two. I like Ben's original approach. Like, you need someone to be smart. Mm-hmm. You need someone to have the gadgets, if you will. And it's a stretch. All right. I don't watch Dora the Explorer. I just went with the backpack. All right. But so what I'm getting at is you need a little more like intelligence doesn't get you all the way there, but it does get you a lot of the way there.
Mm-hmm.
But you do need someone that can just bust out, as you said, Travis, the muscle, just the reps, straight back, just not even trying to like cheat the bench press, just slamming those reps. On top of intelligence and also the vehicle to get you to places.
We're in prison.
Well, but when you bust out of prison.
Okay, fair.
Or even in prison, nothing's going to stop a magic school bus. So Miss Frizzle would be the best prison gang leader out there. Because she's just out there on the yard, just knocking them out. She had, if you've seen that episode, she has the intelligence. She's able. She has the charisma. My vote's for Miss Frizzle.
She would be, to put another cartoon in here, the episode of Hey Arnold, where he gets into the fight with a bully.
Yes.
And he just goes ape shit. And they're like, I don't want to fuck with this person. That's just Miss Frizzle on a daily basis, right? Yeah, I like that.
I'm glad you brought up Hey Arnold, because that was one where I was on the line with. My honorable mention was Angelica.
I don't like Angelica. Yeah, okay.
I didn't know if that would qualify as a kids cartoon. So I like Miss Frizzle as my vote on this one.
The reason why I don't like that though, Rick,
I'm okay with it,
is because I think she's going to scare everyone, and no one's going to. Everyone's just going to avoid her. She's going to be a lone wolf.
Okay, I'm okay with that. That's a fair. Yeah. That's a fair retort.
Yeah. All right, Drew. Mm-hmm. Round us out.
I love that we've all gone with like some pretty classic characters, and not like included some of the newer Nickelodeon, that kind of thing. I'm going back to the roots. I liked Bugs Bunny. I think he's a little bit of a loner. And like you said, kind of the more like trickster mentality. So I would question his ability to lead and keep people behind him. I want somebody that's got the financial backing to be able to move and shake and get things done behind the scenes. Give me Scrooge McDuck.
That was my third pick.
Wait, who'd you say?
Scrooge McDuck.
Nice.
Out of from all the iterations, I mean, he started out as basically Scrooge from Charles Dickens and came up into DuckTales, where he was, you know, the benevolent kind of older uncle giving away his fortune and, you know, funding these lavish. But he's the kingpin of that cartoon world. He's got the money behind him. He's got the influence to be able to get people to do things for him. Even if he's sitting in a jail cell, you know, he's got a network of people where he can say one word and they're going to go and they're going to do things and keep his empire alive while he's living his best life in one of those resort prisons that they send the rich people to. So give me him as best gang leader.
Well, so I think you just may have brought up an argument to that, is that he has enough money where he will be sent to, he won't go to general population, right? He's going to a resort prison where he is an equal amongst other rich people at this resort prison.
I don't think he's an equal.
Well, it's slightly above average, beyond,
and he can make those people.
He's not in gen pop.
Do what he wants,
right? He's not going to be able to convince all of those money. But might rich not enough, impress
rich enough to where people. His influence could get to gen pop,
right? Sure, I agree with that.
What he wants that way,
but he's at a resort, so he's not even at gen pop. Like he's at a completely different facility somewhere else.
Can I get a quick recap?
We didn't specify the type of prison.
Just to recap, we've got Dora the Explorer, we've got Papa Smurf, we've got Bugs Bunny, Miss Frizzle, and Scrooge McDuck. All solid choices.
They really are.
Everyone came prepared, even though they may have said that they struggled. Everyone did well. But there can only be one gang leader.
Highlander.
Honestly, if you put them together...
Yes. Yes, if this was the start of the gang,
everyone's got a little bit of everything.
Yes,
like and so you got money, you got a doer, you got Dora greasing the wheels, you got Frizzle as the muscle, Papa Smurf is like the that right hand middleman. I want
to
see this,
but
cartoon.
To your yes, I want to see the cartoon, but you make an interesting point, Rick or Rick Drew. Of the five of us, if we were all in a gang, if all of our characters were in a gang, who would be the leader? Right? And I think it would actually be Papa Smurf.
He's got the old, yeah. The
patriarch, the guy that everyone, more of like the godfather type vibe.
The Don, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The Don.
People come to him.
The Don.
Leave the gun.
Don Papa.
Right. Like, I think any of us could be the leader. But I think of the leaders, who's the lead? It's probably Papa Smurf.
I'm not mad at that.
So is this my podcast now?
Don't nice. No. Well,
that's not what we said.
No,
that's not what we said.
She said it as a true gang leader.
If you said if it's Papa Smurf's podcast now, maybe I'd give it to him. However,
I don't hate that. I'm okay with Papa Smurf taking it. I like the way you phrase it, Travis. They're all separate from each other, potential gang leaders. But yes, I think, as you said, the godfather needs to be there.
Right. And I think he would be the one if we were, and I gave the kind of two scenarios. So, and we didn't specify which one. If we were talking about like an established one and we walked into prison, which one of us would already be the gang leader? It would be Papa Smurf. If we were like just introduced into prison and we had to become a gang leader, it probably wouldn't be Papa Smurf, right? Because he's already too old. He'd get voted out quickly.
So
I like that.
It would probably be Scrooge McDuck.
I like that.
He might be already too old too.
Oldest. Mm-hmm.
Right. I would probably go more, I'm gonna say Bugs Bunny just because of my argument for Rick, and I like the Dora. It could be Dora too.
I would give it an equal weight between Dora or Miss Frizzle, because Miss Frizzle is just gonna go punch the biggest dude in there and take his place and win that way. And Dora's gonna make some like sneaky. She's gonna be like that fixer. Like, I can get you whatever you need, man.
But that fixer is never the leader.
I think in six months, Dora is going to have every single person in her game.
Trades her way into that primo cell where she's got a whole bookshelf full of stuff. And, you know, she's like, what do you want? You want a cell phone? You want an internet connection? She's got it.
Yeah, she's Chris Rock.
She takes the tech version of leading, whereas
she's everyone's favorite person, but she's not the gang leader. She's not vicious enough.
I think she's
not going to beat someone over the head.
I bet.
Leader never beats anybody over the head. That's the muscle.
Gets somebody.
Then has a good point.
That's not true.
Like, are we forming the gang, or are we saying the most? Like, the gang is formed, and you're most likely to encounter said gang, who is the cartoon character that you'd be least surprised in seeing.
Well, so the prompt was who would make the best gang leader. And I think for the original prompt, the best gang leader would still be Papa Smurf.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm okay with that.
I think
he already holds together a family.
Right. If he was younger and then started out, sure. Yeah, he would make the best. Now,
and they held off Wendy and Eric Cartman
back when he was dead.
They're just asking questions just to bring South Park into this.
What about Splinter?
Ooh, would have been a good one.
Holds together a family.
Honestly, I thought about going like
obviously
Megatron.
Skilled in fighting.
Ooh, now
but skilled now in fighting we're going. And skilled in.
I wouldn't have meditation? Gone Splinter. I would have gone Raph, because he's more adept for the prison environment.
But he's not a leader. He's not a gang leader. He's the muscle. He's not the leader. He's not the Don.
In a prison environment, he would be more of a leader than, say, Leo, because Leo is altruistic and wants to do the right thing. Raph is like, I'm the muscle, and I'm smart enough, because he challenges Leo all the time
for
leadership. Because he is a natural leader, just not as altruistic. And so he's going to maybe take things in a more violent, head-on direction.
I don't know. To Rick's point earlier, I think there has to be a decent level of intelligence in that. And I just don't think Raph brings that.
Oh, Raph has plenty of intelligence. He's just not – his motives are different than Leo's. That's the main difference. Because if you want to talk intelligence, you're going to go Donnie.
I'd agree with that.
Like, if we're talking Ninja Turtles.
The podcast who is lost right now, it's Ninja Turtles, and we're using abbreviations for their names.
Thank you.
Everyone you, that's been lost for the last 5 minutes.
Sorry. Anyways, I'm still going Splinter. So,
I think Splinter's too much of a loner. Like,
go Shredder at that point.
Shredder would be a good answer. He literally led a gang.
I feel like we
literally.
They always lost.
Unconsciously stayed away from like already villains, people who are already considered villains, just because it was a little.
They usually lose. That's
too easy,
and that's why the prompt was more childhood, you know, child cartoons, where you could make an argument that Ninja Turtles is a childhood cartoon, and it is, but like when you think about like the stereotypical one.
Non-superhero.
Right. Yeah. There's no good versus evil type situation.
Like Bob from VeggieTales. I get it. Yeah.
Nice.
Never
Drew, I thought you were going to go with like Stitch or something.
I tried to stay away from Disney too. Just because, again, I felt that was a little more in the hero-y realm.
Yeah.
There was, who was it? Mikey from Recess?
Yes. Yes, great pick.
Because he technically was a gang leader.
Yes.
Already.
An elementary school is basically a prison.
It is. It's Lord of the Flies. You know?
Recess is the prison yard of schools.
Mm-hmm.
That was my backup.
I had a couple of real backups, and then I had Plank from Ed, Edd n Eddy, but that wasn't a real backup. That was just for shits and giggles.
I would watch that show though. Plank runs a prison.
And that's the title of the episode.
I had Shaggy from Scooby-Doo because he had the automatic drug hookup for everybody. But I don't know, man. I went old school for one of my backups with Jerry Mouse just because he could always get out of any kind of danger, any kind of situation. Like, he knew how to, you know, get free, get clear. So
I considered Jerry, and I picked Bugs because I thought Bugs was a more prison friendly version of, yeah, you know, would survive better in prison than Jerry. Mm-hmm. So, which, by the way, it took me forever to realize that Tom is the cat because it's Tomcat. I was like 30 when I figured that out. All right, so for all intents and purposes, we're gonna go Papa Smurf for the answer to this question. Sound good? Everyone good? Yep.
Thumbs up.
Nope. Drew.
No, I want to make a quick caveat. I apologize. I meant TJ from Recess.
TJ. Yes. Mikey TJ was the leader. Mikey was the muscle.
Yes. Mikey was the big dude.
Yes.
And also, for you, Travis, Ashley Johnson was the voice of Gretchen, the nerd.
Well, shit. Mine was
it all comes
blown.
Around 20 years
Mind
later.
Mind blown. How did I not know that? Guys, it's time for last call.
We're bringing back an oldie but a goodie. Pamela, you've probably heard this on a couple of episodes. We are doing laws.
Ooh.
So we've got 8 laws. I'm going to say 1 law that is real and 1 law that has been slightly altered. You have to pick the one that is real and that has not been altered. All right? So I've got Travis first, then Rick, then Pamela, then Drew, based on how I see you on my screen. All right, number 1, and we'll talk about what states these are later, because these are all different states in the U.S. It is unlawful to sell, dispose of, give away, or use stink bombs, or it is illegal to attach a vending machine to a porta potty.
Give me the first one.
Give me the vending machines and the porta potty.
Stink bomb.
Stink bomb.
Number 2. It is illegal to take someone else's crawfish, or it is illegal to serve ice cream with bananas.
Bananas. Ice cream and bananas.
Give me the crawfish, because if it's not illegal, it should be.
Crawfish.
I'm going to go crawfish also.
All right. Number 3. It is illegal to wake a sleeping bear to take a selfie. Or
yes.
Rude. Just rude.
Yes.
It is illegal.
Am I the bear?
Yeah, you are.
Or it is illegal to make a funny face at a horse.
They're both very possibly true. I'll go bear.
Yeah, I'm gonna go the horse just to try and help my score with Travis, but they should both probably be true.
I'd say horse.
Horse.
All right, number 4. It is illegal to eat an orange while taking a bath. Or it is illegal to cross your eyes in church.
Give me the church.
I don't remember the first one, but give me the first one.
Orange in the bathtub.
Yeah.
Orange in the bathtub. That one.
I'll go church.
All right. Number 5. It is illegal to scare a monkey. Or it is illegal to take the right of way on a highway over a bird.
I'm going to go the bird one. That's too obscure. That's super weird.
I'm going to go the bird as well. We hit enough of them during baseball.
Yep.
Monkey.
I'm going to go bird.
Number 6. It is illegal to wear Crocs on the sidewalk. Or it is illegal to sing while wearing a swimsuit.
Swimsuit.
It should be the Crocs, so give me the Crocs. Wearing Crocs in public should be a crime.
Yeah, anywhere.
Singing in swimsuit.
Crocs.
Number 7. It is illegal to pay a psychic. or it is illegal to tie a crocodile to a stop sign.
It's probably two, but I'm going to go one, paying a psychic, because I think some weird state thinks that's gambling.
I like it. Just to be different, give me the crocodile on the stop sign.
You went croc for croc. Okay.
What's the first one again?
Illegal to pay a psychic.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, I'm going back to back crocs on this one too.
Nice.
Last one. It is illegal to play pinball if you're on parole.
Mm.
Or it is illegal to throw knives at men wearing striped suits.
I'll go the striped suits.
Does the first one involve pinball? Because yes. That's what I want to go with.
The second one.
I want pinball.
All right. That's all eight. Well, we'll just tally them as we go. All right. Number one. Unlawful to sell, dispose, or give away the use of stink bombs? Or is it illegal to attach a vending machine to a porta potty? It is unlawful in Alabama to sell, dispose, or give away use of stink bombs.
Woo!
Alabama's the worst state.
However, in Washington, it is illegal to attach a machine to a utility pole, but it's perfectly fine if you attach it to a shitbox. So, second one, is it illegal to take someone else's crawfish, or is it illegal to serve ice cream with bananas? It is illegal to take somebody else's crawfish.
Yes!
But in Kansas, it is illegal to serve ice cream with cherry pie, which...
All Kansas isn't real. Kansas isn't real.
Wait, what state was the crawfish not legal in?
Take one guess.
Louisiana.
There you go. Okay. Number three. It is illegal to wake up a sleeping bear to take a selfie, or it's illegal to make a funny face at a horse. Can't wake up a sleeping bear to take a selfie in Alaska.
Boom!
Absolutely illegal. You can make a funny face at a horse, but you can't make a funny face at a dog, apparently, which...
That makes sense.
Yeah, not really to me.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't make
sense.
Make it bite you.
All right, number four. It is illegal to eat an orange while taking a bath, or it is illegal to cross your eyes in church. According to California, you are not allowed to take a bath and eat an orange. You can cross your eyes in church, but you're not allowed to whisper in Delaware in church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's obvious.
So if you're going to talk to somebody in church, you got to yell.
You shouldn't whisper in church. It's not
you're talking a reasonable volume.
All right, number five. It is illegal to scare a monkey, or it is illegal to take the right of way on the highway over a bird. Sorry, guys, but in Utah, birds have the right of way.
Of course it's Utah. Of course it's Utah.
Classic. I don't even know how that works.
But I did this on purpose. In Massachusetts, it's not a monkey you can't scare, but it's a pigeon. Like, there's a lot of rights out there for birds. It's amazing.
Hashtag
you bird, never that's... studied bird law?
Apparently not.
Thank you.
Birds aren't real.
Thank you, Drew. Always sending reference. Thank you.
Aren't birds just dinosaurs? All right.
All
right. Number six. It's illegal to wear Crocs on the sidewalk, or illegal to sing in a swimsuit. Yeah, guys, in Florida, you can't sing in a swimsuit. Sorry.
Woo!
Yet everybody does. You can wear Crocs on a sidewalk. However, in Nevada, you're not allowed to sit on the sidewalk, which kind of blew my mind a little bit. I guess you get in the way. I don't know.
I'd walk for a reason.
That's a good point. Liz. All right. This is a very close score right now. Yeah, 4-3, 4-3. So,
yep.
All right. Number seven.
It's an odd soccer formation.
Illegal to tie a crocodile to a stop sign, or illegal to pay a psychic. In Pennsylvania, you can't pay a psychic. That is illegal. It's actually illegal to tie crocodiles and alligators to fire hydrants, which makes no sense. But
Just don't do it.
Just don't do it, because apparently it's illegal. But stop signs are perfectly fine. All right, last one. Illegal to play pinball if you're on parole, or illegal to throw knives at men wearing striped suits. Well, in Kansas, you can't throw knives at men wearing striped suits.
Ooh.
You can play pinball in South Carolina if you're on parole. You just can't do it if you're a minor.
Can't play pinball if you're a minor?
Not in South Carolina.
Stupid South Carolina.
All right, so Travis and Pamela both got six.
Dope. Do we have a tiebreaker law?
All right, this is. I'm going to pull up a U.S. map. Whoever gets closest by the U.S. map. Pamela and Travis, tiebreaker. Whoever gets closest to the state geographically. What state is it illegal to eat hamburgers on Sunday? Pamela, you're the guest. You get to go first.
What's the state with all like the Mormons and stuff?
Utah. That was going to be my guess, but I'll go to somewhere else. Illegal to eat hamburgers on a Sunday. Give me, I'll go the other side of the country. Give me Massachusetts.
Nice.
All right. And judging by the ruler that I have, Pamela wins by about a quarter of an inch. Because it's actually Minnesota. But technically, Utah is closer to Minnesota than Massachusetts.
I love it. I love it.
So many things wrong with that statement that I absolutely love.
I absolutely love it.
I demand a recount.
A remeasure, if it were. It was cold in Ben's apartment.
My ruler shrunk a couple inches.
Yes. I love it.
Congrats, Pamela. You win. That's fine, I guess.
I mean, you were both pretty far off, so. Just saying.
I mean, yeah.
I couldn't find Utah on the map.
It's Southwest.
Neither can any of us, so it's all right.
Yeah, I had to pull up a map of the United States just to answer that question. I've lived here my whole life.
Well, guys, that was a that was an episode.
It was indeed.
It was an episode, and
we did record.
Wait, yep, it says recording. We did record. Pamela, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure having you on. Is there anything you want to plug? Anything you want to say to the fans that actually listen?
No. We've got one of two fans on the actual podcast.
Does that mean, yeah, you still have to listen to this episode because you're going to reduce our numbers?
I'll listen. At least download.
There you go.
There you go. Follow us on the Twitter, the YouTube, and Instagram have gone, I don't want to say dark, but I'm not posting on them until some things happen. Some things are coming soon. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. But I'm holding off on those until that thing happens. Oh, also, wait, things. Next week, do you know what we're talking about? Next week, we're going to talk about, should you take the stairs if you're just going up one flight? What would be the best kid/horror film combo, and which three item combination would get you arrested the quickest at the checkout line in a grocery store? Stay tuned for next week on Bar Banter, and just remember that this is our podcast and not Pamela's, and you're just along for the ride.